It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Exodus today, Exodus chapter 32, and we're going to read down through these verses of Scripture and enjoy the study of God's precious Word. So please that you open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32, and while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Let's begin reading now, Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is the feast of the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Now we're going to stop with the 8th verse right now. We're going to begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you for the day. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and to do these programs, to be able to study the Word of God and share the Word of God together. And we know that our family, and I'm speaking of a church family, and a church family is not just the people that attend the building. There is a local church family, but every person that has come by faith to you, Lord Jesus, that is saved, truly saved, they have recognized that they're lost and they're in their sin, and they have invited you to come into their heart to save them. There is a wonderful, wonderful, perfect personal relationship that we have with you, and we praise you for that opportunity to serve you, to know you, to walk with you. And that's a day that a person never forgets, dear Lord, is the day that we meet you. And Father, you know that's a question I always ask. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And they say, oh, yes. I said, when did you meet Jesus? Why, I don't know. Then they're not saved, dear Lord. And so I ask today that they do know that day, because the day that they meet the living God is a day they'll never forget. So please, dear Lord, you will guide and lead us today. You will show us the importance of coming to you by faith. You'll show us the importance in walking with you by faith. And so please teach us your word today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a sad day when we look at this book of Exodus, and yet we see that that's exactly what the world is doing today, and even the church. And in the prayer I spoke of the church being believers that are saved. You have the local church, and then you have the church that spreads around the world that are born-again believers. But today, the world has taken on the term, the name church, and so every place of worship is a church. Most people today are all Christians, according to their opinion, and it's sad because it's not true. The only way you can be a Christian is to have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that you're a sinner and you're lost, and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save you. He is faithful to save you. He will come. He will save you. Please, that you trust in Him today and not in some religious act of a certain belonging to a certain church, a certain organization, things like that. That's not going to make it. It is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the day you meet Jesus is a day, again, that you'll never forget. But when we come today, why we find so many places that call themselves churches, call themselves Christians, are not, because actually they are very much idol worshipers. We find the situation here with this group, and I'm talking about, when I say a group, I mean a big group, because we're looking somewhere between 1.5 million and 2, some estimate maybe up to 3 million in number. And we know that Moses has been up on the mountain now for about 40 days. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, when this time come, now they had received much. We know that there are certain workmen that's going to build this tabernacle, and we know the special talents that God is going to give them. And we're just looking forward to this great work of this tent affair and its furnishings, a place where God will be able to come and meet with the people. What a glorious day that will be. And yet we find the people beginning and becoming impatient. And when we say here, and when the people saw, these people are Israelites. They're the very same folks that have watched the Red Sea parted and they crossed on dry land. It's the very same folks that witnessed the judging hand of God and the wrath of God upon Pharaoh as Pharaoh refused to let his people go, let God's people go. And they watched plague after plague after plague, and even to the end when the firstborn of Pharaoh's family and anyone that was not covered with the blood. They did not take the blood and put it over the doorpost from the they would slay the lamb. That was the very first Passover. The death angel would pass over if the blood was there. And so if you believed it and put it on, then the death did not come to your firstborn. If you did not believe it and you didn't do it, death to your firstborn came that night. And so the cry of death came out through the streets of the land of Egypt that night. And this is not a long period of time since that took place. And yet we find the people so quickly here are forgetting all those things, God's deliverance. The presence of the Shekinah glory cloud is still there right now as we're speaking to these people. So God's presence over the mount is there. The very cloud that led them out, the cloud that moved over the top of them and stood between them and the enemy when they crossed the Red Sea, all this is there. And yet let's look at what happened. And so I've looked at the people, and when the people saw that Moses delayed, and this people is the nation of Israel, the very people that God has delivered out of the land, clearly, specifically, without another opportunity or an ability to deliver, God did. And yet these people here, we're going to see, and as you heard me read, very quickly deny that. And he says, now Moses delayed to come down from the mount. Now this would be Moses' fault if he was up there relaxing and resting and says, boy, this has been a job and a half to get these people out of Egypt. And, you know, God, I appreciate the rest. Now just let me sit here and rest. He wasn't resting at all. He was before the God himself that had delivered him. And he was being given specific words and knowledge and wisdom of what to do. And while he was up there, and again, he was up there at the hand of God, not at his own hand. You know, people say that, boy, I've got to have a rest. You know, this, I'm just so wore out. I've got to get some vacation time. And a time of rest is important. But many times the rest is so important is because we're depending upon our own power and our own strength. We're doing our own thing. When we're doing our own thing, we get wore out. When we're doing the things that God has called us to do, He will not wear you out. I've heard that statement before. You know, get usable and God will wear you out. Get usable and God will strengthen you. God will empower you. God will not wear you out. He will refresh you and strengthen you and give you wisdom of what to do and where to go and what to say each day. And so we find here these people, Moses delayed. It was not upon his delay. It was upon the delay because God had kept him there. And when the people saw, now, and I'm just kind of taking these words one at a time as we're looking at these sweet verses in the 32nd chapter. And in that very first verse, we have when the people, we talked about that, saw. Now, how do we serve our Lord? Is it upon our time schedule? Is it upon what we see, what we hear? You know, we're to have spiritual hearing, and we're to have spiritual eyes in what we see. But too often we see things of the world, and when we see it, it's trouble. Lot, when he was given the opportunity to choose the land that he wanted, when the herds of Lot and Abraham got too big, then Abraham said, Lot, you know, whichever direction you want to go, I'll go the opposite. Abraham had the power, Abraham had the authority to take whatever land he wanted, but he didn't. He chose to give a Lot a choice. Now, a lot of times we won't risk that because we're afraid we're going to lose too much. Abraham wasn't afraid of that. He knew God would take care of him. And so Lot looked, and Lot saw, and Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And if you're familiar at all, you know the rest of the story. And it's not a good story. It's a sad, sad story. Lot lost his family because of what he saw and what he wanted. He saw the plains. They were so fertile, able to produce and care for his livestock and for his family. He didn't get on his knees and say, dear God, please that you give me the wisdom. He should have turned back to Abraham. He says, no, Abraham, you choose and I will go the other way. But instead of that, Lot looked, he chose, and we know the rest of the story. So I have the word saw there. People saw that Moses had delayed. And so they were looking for this man. Now, Moses' delay, again, was not upon his own time. It was God's time. And so we know that this was the will of God, that these people be tested at this time. And this was a test. He delayed long enough because they were to depend upon the Lord, not upon Moses. And now we find the next step here. And Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Now, that first step, and I have that listed as the first step that they have made now. They noticed he was not present. They begin to feel like he was that he had died. He went up there, and with all the lightning and the thunder and the cloud and everything that was there, they were fearful that Moses was gone. Now, God promised that Moses would lead them into the promised land. But you see, they didn't have that faith. They didn't believe God. And so here's what's going to happen. It's going to happen very quickly. they gathered themselves together to Aaron. Now, Aaron, right here, he was a leader. Aaron stood beside Moses when all these plagues took place. Aaron's Moses' brother. We find that he, when the plagues were announced, you know, Moses said when God called him, he says, I can't speak before kings. I can't speak before anybody. And we know he could because Moses was educated, in the finest schools. He was a leader prior to God bringing him, saving him, and bringing him to being the deliverer of these Israelites. But he wasn't willing to trust God. Moses wasn't. And so Moses asked, and Aaron was trouble many, many times for him, and here's one of the times. Here's this man named Aaron, Moses' brother, watched the strength, watched the power, watched God deliver Israel out. He was there, and as Moses was there, there was no question that he knew the power of God. So the people collected themselves, gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Now, at this point in time, things could have went very well, because Aaron could have been the leader that he should have been, and he should have said, Moses is fine. We're just going to wait. It won't be long. God will let Moses come back down and give us his direction. But let's look at what happened next. Again, the next step, they said to him, let's make up some gods. Let's make gods. We need gods. They gathered themselves together unto him and said, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. Now, they saw the Shekinah glory cloud. They saw the power of God deliver them out of the land of Egypt. They witnessed that. It wasn't that God went to Moses and told Moses secretly what to do, and then Moses went to Pharaoh, and nobody knew what happened. All of a sudden, Moses shows up to the door of the Israelites and says, okay, God said it's time to go, let's go. It wasn't that way at all. They witnessed these plagues that happened to the Egyptians and not to them. They watched the hand of God deliver them, and yet so quickly, these people have turned aside. And so, we're going to make up some gods. We need you to make up gods. Now again, Aaron at this time should immediately says, no, we have been delivered from the land of Egypt and from the gods of Egypt. We serve the true and living God, and he is meeting with Moses right now, and we're just going to wait. But instead of that, we know what happened. They also called that these gods, the very land that God had said, I will lead you to, and this man Moses will do that. They wanted gods that would go before them to lead them there. They wanted statues and things like that. Dead gods. You see, there was an awful lot of Egypt in them. There was an awful lot of Egypt. And in the Word of God, the land of Egypt stands for the world. There was an awful lot of world in these Israelites. And they brought that world right them. Even though they watched God deliver them, that world was right there. And that world stayed in their minds. Instead of surrendering with their heart, the world stayed in their minds. And the same thing has happened today. All these big mega churches and places like that, the Word of God is not taught. The Word of God is not proclaimed. The driving force of those places is majority of it's music. You go in and you love that beach, you love that music, and so you just eat it up. Oh, the spirit is so strong. Well, there's a spirit that's strong in those places, but I guarantee you it's not the Holy Spirit. You're being deceived. And you need to come out from among them if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You need to stay away from them, because you need to get back to where you're listening and hearing those beautiful old hymns. You say, Larry, that's of your day. No, it's not of my day. That's of my grandfather's day, my great-grandfather's day. And that's exactly the same words in those hymns that touch my heart, because there's words of power there. It gets to my heart before it gets to my foot. My heart is being dealt with. And my heart is rejoicing, or my heart is sad because of what that hymn is saying when I'm singing it, long before my foot's tapping. And when I come out, I've been dealt with by the Holy Spirit. But most of the time when people today go to church, they don't go back if they don't leave feeling good. Well, sometimes I leave the church not feeling good because the Lord has dealt with me. That's what the Holy Spirit is here to do. Is to deal with us, to grow us, to show us the way of salvation, and to show us the way of life, to walk each day. They gathered together, they called Aaron, said, I want you to build us some gods. I want these gods to go before us. Aaron, being a leader, all he needed to say was, you need to follow the Lord. Don't think that just because your pastor or your church teaches a certain doctrine or a certain philosophy or does something a certain way and it makes you feel good, don't think that it's necessarily right. They're going to make decisions, they're going to make claims, they're going to make statements, and you're going to eat it up. But there are more preachers and there are more churches that are leading people right down the road of hell today than ever in history, because they are not following the Word of God. So how are you going to know? You're going to know, my friend, by coming by faith to Jesus, trusting in Him, and then you open your Bible, because the Holy Spirit that teaches me, that teaches every believer, will teach you. And He may show you, the Spirit of God may show you very quickly that where you are and what you're listening to is a lie. Now, you need to discern that, because many of you have been taught doctrines from your youth that are not in the Word of God. They are a doctrine of the church, and they teach if you don't follow this doctrine, you will die. There is no hope for you in heaven, for heaven or for salvation, if you don't follow this doctrine. It may be a good doctrine, it may be a right doctrine, but it may not be. Aaron should have led these people back to the Lord. He should have immediately said, Oh, you have sinned. Even the thought of doing that, it just frightens me that you would think to separate yourself from the living God and build these statues like was in Egypt. And those statues could not protect the Egyptians. Our God destroyed their gods. That's what Aaron should have said very quickly, very easily. He should have made that statement. But instead of doing that, instead of making that stand, Aaron immediately came up with a plan to build these idols. You see, Aaron had an awful lot of world in him too. Even though he was a leader, and God is going to make Aaron. Some things we just don't understand. How could God have Aaron to be the high priest? I don't understand. When Aaron is doing something so criminal and so so horrible as this. He led these people, and he was the cause of the death of many of them. And so is many preachers today. I know family after family, friends that I know, family that I know, that have been led and so deceived for so long that when you speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, they say, well, we don't believe that you need that personal relationship. We believe in God, and the Word says that's all you need to do is believe. That's true. But when you take verse after verse after verse, you see the verse, the Scripture confirms Scripture. You don't take one verse of Scripture and then find out what some man has to say about it. Scripture confirms Scripture. So we need to look now, and we need to realize, that the Word of God is true. It is God's inspired, perfect Word. It is unchanging, and you need to look to that Word. And you need to be in prayer with the Holy Spirit, and He will show you, and He will find that there are places in your doctrine, in your church, that your preacher preaches may not be right. They followed Aaron. He immediately said, "Let's get these the golden earrings." You see, they shouldn't have had those on anyway. Those should have all been put in a sack and left. Instead of that, why, they were adorned with all these earrings, the young men, the young ladies, the wives. And he says, all right, pour all your earrings in there. We're going to mold them all down, and I'll make you a god. Well, that sure wasn't the God that I know. That wasn't a decision he liked. It was a decision that the world likes, and the people loved it. And so much of our religion today and worship services today are pleasing to man and not pleasing to God. Where do you go? What do you listen to? Do you listen to the Word of God, or do you trust that man and trust that church to be right? My parents went there, my grandparents went there, my great-grandparents went there, so it's got to be fine. No, it doesn't. It may have been fine then, it may never have been fine. But it doesn't matter. Is it fine? Is it right today? That's the question. Time is so short. Please, I want you to awaken to the lies and the deception that's going on today. Because there are few places that teach the Word of God. There are few people that desire to hear the truth. They would rather hear a lie. Their itching ears. They love that. It's kind of like an old dog, you know. I've got a dog, and he every time he comes near me, he rolls over, and I rub his belly. And boy, he just loves that. Well, that's the condition of most Christians. As long as their belly's rubbed, why, they'll be fine. They don't care whether it's the truth. They feel good. They feel good. And they go right back into the world the way they were before, with the language and the stories and all those things. Their hearts never changed. And the preacher sees to it that it never changes. The only thing he's concerned about is his pocketbook. He wants to be paid. And if he starts preaching the truth, the payment's not going to come, because people don't like to be told the truth. People don't like to be told that they're a sinner and they're lost and they're dying. They don't like to hear that. You know, anybody that's lost, you look at 1st chapter Romans. Paul's dealing with the lost there. 2nd chapter deals with the self-righteous, still lost. Both of those are good chapters to read, and you'll see the hope that you have as a lost person. Or if you know somebody that's lost, or if you're going with somebody that's lost and you're saved, get away from them. Because, my friend, there is no hope unless they get saved. So bring them to Jesus. Tell them you've got to come to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will begin to convict their hearts, and will look and watch a miracle be performed when you're saved. Please, my dear friend. Aaron made a bad decision. What decision are you going to make? My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?